Well, welcome everybody. I'm Stephen Burns, Chief Executive of Hollywood Bowl Group, and I'm joined today by our CFO, Lawrence Keane. And via this live webcast, we look forward to taking you through our half-year results. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A, and the recording will be available on our corporate website within the next 24 hours. I'll start the presentation taking you through some of the half's operational highlights and lowlights. Lawrence will talk you through our financial performance for the half year, our strong balance sheet, and some guidance for the rest of the year. I'll then take you through our operational progress, our continued response to COVID, and how we are all well positioned for recovery and our strategy for driving longer term shareholder value. The first half of our financial year has been another very challenging period for the group, as it has for the rest of the leisure industry. When we have been able to trade, however, we've seen significant demand for our offering, with no structural changes to the way our customers interacted with our product. In fact, during the October half-term period, we were achieving 86% of FY19 revenues, despite only having 67% of the capacity available due to the COVID restrictions at that point in time. The new Puttstars concept centres also traded very well on reopening and continued to deliver in line with their pre-COVID business plan. And I'll talk you through the performance of those centres in more detail later in the presentation. But through a very proactive programme of engagement and negotiation with our landlords and suppliers, and very welcome support from our shareholders, we will exit the pandemic with a very strong balance sheet. And because of that support, we've been able to resume our capital deployment plans on revenue generating, cost saving and customer experience enhancement initiatives, completing the refurbishments of another two centres, installations of pins on strings, as well as commit financially to a number of exciting new locations for both the Hollywood and Puttstars brands. Two new high quality locations have been agreed since the placing, with a further three locations in negotiation for Hollywood Bowl and 8 for Puttstars, increasing our overall target to 14 to 18 new centres by 2024. Pre-bookings are going well this week as we reopen our doors to our customers today.
Thanks, Steve. As Steve mentioned earlier, we traded for only 6.5 weeks of the half, and for all of that we were trading with restrictions from the 10 p.m. curfew to group sizes, to name just a few. After the November lockdown and when we opened into tiers, we were only able to open 37 centres, which then reduced throughout December, before on the 30th of December, the final 8 centres were closed. As you can see on slide 5, total first half revenue was £12 million, down 82.6% on the same period last year. And later, Steve will talk through a bit more detail on the encouraging trading performance we saw in October half term. As well as trading revenue, we also received £1.6 million of local grants during the first half, with a further £1 million due as part of the restart grants during April, which we have now received. Gross profit margin was enhanced by these grants, as well as a higher proportion of bowling revenues during the first half, which resulted in a 90.1% margin. We're forecasting normal margins to return in H2 trading weeks, circa 85% to 85.5%. Admin costs reduced by 46% during the first half, with employee costs down 9.6 million, property rates reduction of 3.6 million, and then reduction in other costs through the management by the teams of over £3 million. We also saw a reduction of 37.2% in corporate costs for the first half as well. I will cover off in more detail in a few slides of time our work with our landlords, which shows our strong relationships with them and the write-offs and deferrals agreed. On slide 6, on an IFRS 16 basis, adjusted EBITDA was £0.2 million, with no exceptional costs and depreciation and finance expenses in line with expectations. The business recorded, therefore, a loss before tax of £14.5 million, and a tax credit was recognised of £2.9 million in the year, primarily due to the losses incurred. The group has submitted a reclaim for FY2020 corporation tax of £0.6 million. And then furthermore, the group will be in a position at year end to utilise the recent budget changes in relation to carry back losses to FY19, which should result in a further corporation tax refund of £0.4 million, with any balancing taxable losses available to carry forward and offset against future profits. Along with the introduction of the new tax super deduction, which applies for capital investments between the 1st of April 2021 and the 31st of March 2023, this will further reduce the group's effective tax rate going forward. Now, assuming there's no further changes by the government, we forecast our effective tax rate to be 10% in FY 2022. We've also continued to protect cash during the period of closure, as you can see from slide 7, and are grateful to those shareholders who supported our recent equity raise. During H1, as I mentioned earlier, we received 1.6 million of government grants. We saw a working capital movement positive of 0.9 million, excluding VAT, with cash centre EBITDA reducing cash balances by 8.8 million, which also included all trade creditors unwinding. We were currently owed at the end of the half 1.7 million of VAT from HMRC, which has now been received. And we've continued on the refurbishment programmes we spoke about before. We've completed the refurbs in Stevenage and Basildon, as well as two pins on stream installs and the full rollout of the lane seating dividers, all for a total capex just in excess of £3 million. Finally, a debt service of £1 million in the first half blessed us with cash at the end of H1 of £37.4 million. And as at today, our cash at bank is £37.2 million. And we look forward to adding to that during the reopening period. With the new centres, as well as three more refurbs and four more pins on strings, we forecast total capex for H2 to be between £9 and £11 million. Just as a recap on the proactive liquidity management, what we've tried to do is ensure that we rally support from our stakeholders throughout the process of closure. We agreed an extension to our RCF before the CL bills was announced, and then converted it to the government-backed facility to save cost. That still remains undrawn, but still available until the 7th of May 2022. We engaged with shareholders early to give us what we thought was a 6 months of additional headroom, which seemed more than prudent at the time. None of us predicted this would be going on for 14 months. And then after a successful reopening period, we then continued to discuss covenants with our banks, further relaxing the covenants in January, when the lockdown was extended, removing the leverage and cash flow covenants for all of FY 2021, as well as relaxing the leverage covenants for FY 2022. We are well within our covenants for March 21 and forecast to be so for the rest of the facilities period. Now on slide 9, I'd like to give you some more detail on our successful negotiations with our landlords. Our plan was to ensure that these negotiations wouldn't become a distraction for us in terms of our strategy of investment into the core estate, new centre opportunities and technological advancements. And therefore, it was imperative we're clear to the pound on not only what is paid, written off and deferred, but in the case of those deferments, when to, so we can relay into our cash flow forecasts. Steve and I have been dealing directly with our landlords at each stage of discussions and communications, and we've been focused on ensuring the landlord is clear of our intentions, how we want to work together with them to arrive at an amicable solution for all, because it's not their fault that we've been forced to close either. And at each stage, we've asked them to confirm their understanding. Now, you will recall that we paid our March 2020 rent in full, and therefore could start discussions on the June onwards rents. And just to recap, over H2 last year, we managed to secure write-offs of £4 million on our rent. That's for the June and September rent quarters. Deferred with agreement in terms of payment schedules, £1 million, and paid £2.1 million. A further £1.1 at the end of the half remains deferred and under discussions. Now, for H1 of this financial year, we managed to get write-offs of £2.1 million with our landlords, deferred a further £1.3 million with agreement, and paid £3.6 million. That left £1.2 million still under discussion at the end of the half, so therefore a total of £2.3 million still under discussion. Now, we continue with those discussions since the end of the half, and since then we've had another £0.3 million written off and signed, and a further £0.3 million ready to be signed off and written off as well, which would reduce the amount deferred with no agreement on payment schedules to £1.6 million. We've got a clear view on the deferment liabilities and where we are still under discussion. We've assumed payments will be made in H2. And in total, that leaves deferred amounts of £4 million plus that to be paid. We've received more communication since the announcement. We're permitted to open. So from those landlords that haven't discussed anything with us before, They're now open to discussions on concessions, such that we believe these will be sorted very soon, and we'll be able to give an update in our year-end results. On slide 10, we lay out the cash benefits seen in H1. So the government support has been discussed before, but this 7.2 million is split 5.6 million of CJRS monies, as well as 1.6 million of government grants. We have also, as I mentioned earlier, received a further 1 million to date for the restart grants. The cash waived is in relation to the business rates removal, which will continue until the end of June 2021. And then be reduced by 67%, capped at 2 million. Therefore, for the group, this is for 5 months, and we'll start paying £200,000 from July, with full rate being paid currently, the view is, as of December. We've again extended our amusement supply contract on the back of the closure, which saved us a further 1.2 million during the most recent lockdown. And then finally, the property detail that we discussed on the previous slide. Of the deferrals that you can see in the bottom table, we still have the VAT being paid back with 1.1 million in H2 and the final payments in financial year 2022. And then the rents due through a combination of the unagreed deferrals and the agreed ones. And then finally, as you can see from the balance sheet and as discussed earlier, we've continued to see trade creditors reduce as the closure has been extended, whilst the rent deferrals are shown within lease liabilities. We also have a corporation tax debtor due to the carryback of losses that I spoke about earlier and expect this to increase further from a carryback and carry forward opportunity in the second half through the crystallisation of the new budget changes.
Thank you, Lawrence. Now, although the pandemic has slowed elements of our strategy, our simple but effective growth strategy does still remain relevant in the post-pandemic era. Despite the lockdown, we've remained very focused on both our organic growth plans and our investment-led strategies. We continued with our centre refurb plan and have enjoyed real success in bolstering our new centre pipeline, doubling the number of new centres we were looking to open pre-pandemic. We've also continued the investment in cost-saving and IT improvement capital projects. On slide 14, sort of casting our minds back to the first reopening at the beginning of the pandemic, back on the 15th of August, as permitted by the guidance with DCMS and Public Health England, all bowling centres had to open with only 50% of the lanes being used. We were opening during the school holidays, one of our peak trading periods, and therefore, given these restrictions, it was important to ensure we could drive utilisation across all day parts, and then, when customers were with us, to drive spend per game. Now, given our focus on sales, service and safety superiority, we were pleased to see spend per game up 7% during those first 2 weeks of reopening, which coincided with the last 2 weeks of the August school holidays, with shoulder period utilisation increased and the business performing at 69% of prior year during the August period. The focus at the time was not just on the reopening, but also on how we could work within the 1 metre plus guidelines and increase lanes available through the introduction of very high quality lane seating dividers. This enabled us to open up every lane. Now, during the last month of our financial year in September, further restrictions were introduced, all of which had the potential to impact on trade. So things like the rule of six, overall capacity restrictions, the 10 p.m. curfew that was introduced, as well as table service for all alcoholic sales are just a few of examples of the headwinds that we were dealing with. By the time we got to October half term, 28 centres were benefiting from our high quality lane seating dividers, as well as the new distinctive bowling balls for alternate lanes, minimising the shared use of equipment and increasing overall group capacity available to 67% of all lanes. Now, while spend per game was down due to the overall capacity restrictions, by which I mean number of people in the bar, diner, and crucially the amusement areas, we saw a strong increase in game volumes across all day parts, such that October half term performed at 86% of prior year, as highlighted on the bridge shown on the slide. There were a number of those centres that had got the lane seating dividers in place that were actually performing better than 2019 numbers. Now, during the 11 weeks of reopening pre the November lockdown, our performance top line was good. Demand outstripped supply during the peak trade periods, and costs were really closely managed. But as we got closer to Christmas, more restrictions on trade were put in place, particularly in the geographies that we have a large number of centres, meaning only 37 centres saw any trade at all post this November lockdown pre-Christmas. And then those sort of final 8 centres that were still clinging on and able to remain open were required to close in line with the national lockdown for hospitality on the 30th of December. Looking at the Puttstars centres on slide 15, as with the Hollywood Bowl centres, the Puttstars brands also had a very limited opportunity to trade during the first half of our financial year, but the data we did manage to generate has confirmed we've created an offer that is valued by the customer group we've targeted. We have some elasticity on price, and the trial centres are well on track to deliver against the forecasted return on invested capital on a gross capex basis, and that figure will only improve with the economies of scale as we open more centres and learn more about the product and start bringing the fit-out costs down. Just in terms of some context to the performance of the Puttstars businesses, we have compared the first 3 Puttstars centres with the Hollywood Bowl average spend per game on food, drink, amusements, and the core activity, which is golf, versus the core activity of bowling. It's worth noting we're seeing on average Hollywood Bowl customers bowl 1.2 games. The average golfer, however, is playing 1.9 games on average. Now, taking that into account, the Puttstars centres are generating broadly the same level of spend on ancillary areas per person as a Hollywood Bowl centre. And as you can see from the price comparison chart on the right-hand side of the slide, the price point is very competitive given the quality of the differentiated offer and presents some opportunity for a more sophisticated yield management approach as the centres start to mature. Now, turning to slide 16, following the successful placing in March, we were able to resume our revenue-generating and cost-saving capital investment programme, making full use of the enforced downtime. We completed the refurbishment of our centres in Basildon and Stevenage before reopening. The refurbishments in both centres included the relocation of the diner, creating space for an enlarged and enhanced amusement offer, as well as the installation of a number of proven digital enhancements and operational efficiencies, helping manage labour costs without, crucially, compromising the customer experience. 3 further centres will be refurbished during the year, with both our Glasgow centres benefiting from a refurbishment and our centre in Cheltenham having the amusement area expanded. We will also be able to start detailed plans for the refurbishment of our site in Liverpool after some very lengthy delays and changes to the original site plan. So rather than knocking down the existing bowl, which was the original plan, and then relocating it with the leisure offer on the park, the new plans see us surrender 20,000 square foot of unused space and then fully refurbish the bowl in its existing location, saving over 1.5 million of the expected spend, as well as seeing significantly less disruption to trade. Now, this will start on site during financial year 22. Our stated plan of using our buildings to generate as much clean energy as is commercial to do so also continues at pace, with a further 3 solar installations planned for the second half, meaning we will have 5 centres with a solar array on the buildings, generating 872,000 kilowatt hours of clean energy a year. Now, this amounts to 5% of our total energy requirement for the year. On slide 17, we just set out our technical excellence and innovation, and we've used the downtime created by the pandemic to continue the rollout of the new Pins on Strings technology, with installations in 2 centres during the half as we continue to execute the rollout strategy to those centres that have machines nearing the end of their useful economic life, as well as installing the technology into our new openings and locations where recruitment and retention of technicians proves challenging. Plans are in place to install the concept into 4 more centres in the second half of the year, meaning we'll close the year with 24 centres benefiting from the technology and 37 centres still to benefit from the guaranteed minimum 30% return on the average cost of $250,000 to install. With an average of 6 centres benefiting from a Pins on Strings install per year going forward, all centres should be complete by FY28. We also used the opportunity the lockdown presented to accelerate the install of the new scoring system that we have worked with the supplier to develop, meaning the rollout will be complete 3 months ahead of schedule and ties in perfectly with the deployment of our new CRM platform that will go live in half two, as we continue our investment and development in our customer relationship management, trying to keep pace with changing customer communication preferences using the latest and most innovative methods and technologies. Joining up the digital journey are the investments that we've made in our in-centre merchandising, giving us the ability to tailor the upsell prompts to the ever-changing demographic we have visiting our centres during our long opening times, as well as highlighting the healthy competition unique to our offer with the digital leaderboards. The pandemic accelerated a number of trends that were developing, including the shift to online bookings from walk-up and telephone. During the pandemic affected opening periods, we saw online bookings jump to 75% from the pre-pandemic average of 40%. Now, whilst some of that is bound to unwind as things get back to normal, the learnings made during this period have resulted in a whole host of changes we will be making to our online customer journey and rolling out in half two to make the customer journey as slick and barrier-free as possible that will in turn reduce our average transaction costs and drive up the average transaction value. Across all of these projects, as well as refurbishment solar installs, we expect to be spending between 6 and 7 million of capital expenditure, and we continue to forecast a return on refurbs and pins on strings installs of at least 30%. So turning to the expansion of our estate, on slide 18, the retail landscape has changed dramatically during the pandemic, with a number of trends that were developing pre-pandemic accelerated. As a consequence, landlords are looking to increase their exposure to experiential leisure, changing the very retail-focused schemes to provide a more holistic destination. And they want an industry-leading offer run by high-quality businesses with strong covenants. And that's where we come in. As a consequence, we've seen a big inflow of new opportunities. Only a handful, however, are of the quality that we look for, that will enhance the profitability of our estate, that will fit within the rent and service charge parameters we're able to offer when signing long leases and looking for businesses that will be profitable for the duration of the lease rather than driving for just short-term scale. Now, in addition to the 8 centres reported on our pipeline that are signed, we've worked really hard to negotiate on a further 11 centres that are at advanced heads of term stage or in legals, or at least 3 of which we're confident we'll be on site on before the end of 2021. Leisure and retail landlords have not been collecting a huge amount of rent over the last 12 months and are therefore less able to offer cash contributions. They are, however, able to offer significantly longer rent-free periods. This does mean that opening these centres will demand a capital requirement of circa 4 to 6 million this calendar year, but the overall returns that we get will still be in line with our historical performance. Slide 19, we just set out the pipeline, which in addition to the centres previously disclosed, we've added Birmingham Resort World. That's a great location on the same park as the NEC with a solid mix of lifestyle, leisure, retail and entertainment. It's going to be a 20,000 square foot centre with 17 lanes. The other addition to the pipeline is Harrow Puttstars. That's located adjacent to a very popular cinema that's just undergone a big refurbishment and is in a very successful retail scheme. We're expecting to be starting on site at both these locations during half two, as well as starting on site in Hollywood Bowl Belfast, with all three openings scheduled to commence trading in FY 2022. Now, today, we reopen our doors in all but one of our centres across the United Kingdom, with Hollywood Bowl, Glasgow, Springfield's Quays still required to stay closed. And it's certainly been a long time in coming. We've used the time that we've been closed to prepare our business, our team, and our safety protocols to ensure we're in the best shape possible, welcoming our customers back to our centres. Our very talented marketing team have put together a very detailed relaunch plan that operates in waves as confidence to return to indoor venues build. As the market leader, we've once again enjoyed substantial national and local media coverage through a well thought through and executed PR campaign. The COVID secure operating model we refined prior to the second lockdown is our new normal, with unique bowling balls for every lane, minimising the shared use of equipment, coupled with the lane seating dividers designed to fit seamlessly into the environment. We've enhanced cleaning regimes, we've got COVID marshals for peak periods, all to ensure compliance in a very customer-centric way. The senior team and I have all been out on the road over the last 7 days, relaunching our cultural induction for all 2,000 team members and delivering immersive operational training to ensure all of our team have real clarity of purpose, aligned goals and objectives, and that's been backed up with a new team member incentive program that rewards our team for displaying the behaviours that we know our customers value. So in summary, we're ready and waiting to welcome back our customers in a safe environment that's been meticulously prepared to maximise capacity and profit whilst delivering the quality of experience that we know our customers are looking for. We made good use of the lockdown period, completing the refurbishment, cost-saving and business improvement programmes that were in our plan. Our team have been well supported during the long periods of lockdown, both financially and through our online engagement programmes, and they're ready to hit the ground running. Our new centre pipeline is exciting, doubling the size of the pipeline, and with our new formats, we're very well placed to capitalise on the changes we're seeing in shopping centres and leisure schemes. We have a solid investment programme, well mapped out for the remainder of the year, and remain very confident that with our affordable, customer-centric offering, we're well placed to bounce quickly back from the effects of this pandemic.